Proverbs chapter 20, we come this afternoon to verse 21. This will be message number 353 in the series in Proverbs, and the subject matter, which we'll look at briefly this afternoon, is that which we've entitled, Getting Rich in a Hurry. Getting Rich in a Hurry. The pitfalls of coming in to an inheritance or a good deal of money in a short period of time without the normal process of work and labor. There's a danger to that. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 21. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Let's look at it one more time. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Here, the wise man, I believe, is referring to getting gain in the form of an inheritance, be it money or some type of an advancement in life, that he's referring to it in a dishonest manner. That is, that it is something that is out of the ordinary pursuit of the normal way in which God has ordained for us to eat our daily bread. God has ordained that our food and our livelihood come about in connection with our labor. And when individuals try to bypass that ordained means and obtain wealth by shortcuts, almost invariably, the end result is disastrous. They may obtain what they're seeking after, but it will not last and stay with them. This is not the first time that we have had this subject introduced to us in the Proverbs. Look back in chapter 13. Chapter 13 and verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor or work shall increase. Now see that connection? Wealth that is acquired by vain methods or means shall diminish in the future. But the person who makes his livelihood by labor, it shall increase. So God has ordained that we earn our livelihood by the work of our hands. That's why I've never been excited about living, working, and laboring, and hoping one of these days why I'll strike it lucky in the lottery or something like that. I don't engage in that. I want you to know that anyway. But that's never been across my mind, because I don't want wealth that way. I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to handle it. That if it suddenly had a windfall of a huge amount of money, that I don't trust my own self to that. And how many families have been ruined that the father has had a good job and then suddenly they win the lottery or something like that and the family goes to pieces as a result of it. So don't set your affection on that. Just look at the natural order of means. Get up, go to Pete, and go to work every day. Get your paycheck at the end of the week. And if you will be studious over the length of time, you will find that there will be an inheritance building there. But to try to shortcut that and get a quick inheritance and disregard the careful sowing and planting before we reap is that which the Bible is discouraging. Look also over in Proverbs 21, which we have not reached yet, but we'll come up to this again in the study. Proverbs 21 and verses 5 through 7. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of every one that is hasty, only to want. The giving of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them, because they refuse to do judgment. Here's three examples, all given in which the individual is trying to short-circuit God's ordained means of obtaining wealth. And the result in the end is loss. The robber ends up in jail. The others, it's destructive to their life. And this is not a desirable thing if one wants to find a happy and a prosperous life in this present world. Now there are examples in the Bible in which that in God's good and wise providence, individuals have suddenly come into an inheritance. Take for example Joseph in Egypt. After he spent a number of years or time there in prison, he was suddenly elevated to the throne. But this was with God's good providence. Also, Mordecai in the Persian Empire, there in the book of Ruth, Esther, got my women mixed up, all right. In the book of Esther, Mordecai was suddenly elevated to a place in the government. We have Daniel in the courts of Babylon, of how as a young man, he suddenly was viewed by his captors as possessing wisdom, and he was thrust to a high place of honor in a short period of time. But this was due to the kind providence of God. It wasn't doing what our text is warning us about, suddenly shortcutting things in order to get the end desire. There is a proper use of the use of means as they're related to the end purpose. Means and the end design cannot be separated. We live in a day of expediency and pragmatism in which it is argued then it doesn't make any use what the means are as long as a desirable outcome is achieved. The scripture here is cautioning against that. On Wednesday night, we have looked at an example of an individual who sought a sudden inheritance. His name was Absalom, the son of King David. He set his eyes upon the throne which his father inherited, and he wanted to inherit that throne. And so in haste, he overthrew his father's kingdom and took over the kingdom itself, but it didn't last long. He hastily acquired the royal throne, but he hastily went into destruction as he ended up being killed in battle and devastated in his own character. King Ahab set his heart upon Naboth's vineyard, and he and his wife Jezebel plotted to hastily get that vineyard without the use of proper means. They had Naboth killed, and they hastily acquired the inheritance, but both of them died in a most shameful way. There is a connection with what you're doing today with what's going to take place in your life 10 years from now. If you don't remember anything else today, remember that. Young men, how you're acting today is going to affect how you're going to be treated 10 years from now. What you're sowing today is going to determine how successful you're going to be down the road. And that is so important to see that. You cannot just go through life making dumb decisions and letting it all hang out and think that you're going to be able to reap a good inheritance down the road. It's going to catch up with you. And what you're sowing now will determine your future lifespan. Let's look at an example in detail in the Bible now this afternoon of an individual who wanted his inheritance most hastily in the New Testament. Let's be turning there in the Gospel of Luke. How many of you know what we're going to be looking at? Think you do. 2, 3, 4. All right. Luke chapter 15. Here we have the story of what is known as the prodigal son, beginning in verse 11. Luke 15 and verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Here is the classic example in the Bible of what Solomon is talking about in our text, in which Solomon states again, an inheritance that is gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. That is, it will not have God's blessing upon it. Here's the classic example of the young man who was discontented in his father's house, discontented with his work, and yet we find that when he hit bottom down there, suddenly what he was formerly discontented with looked awful good. He said, I think I'll just go back and ask to be a hired servant. Be better than what I have right now. But it looked like this would be the desirable way to live. Give me my inheritance before I have earned it, and let me go and live the way I want to live. Since interesting, as someone has said, the prodigal son wanted the father's goods, but he didn't want the father's rules. He didn't want the rules of the father's house, but he wanted the benefits of the father's house. So he said, let me have the inheritance and I'll go live the way I want to live, but I'll live at your expense. So we read, the father said, all right, you can have it. Go. We read, not many days after, shortly, the younger son packs up his car, gets everything in it, takes a journey into a far country, and there he has a great time, he thinks. But the problem is, it's not going to last very long. There he wasted his substance with riotous living. It is said by his older brother, upon his return, that he had spent his life with harlots, and therefore he ate, drank, was merry, but it did not last. We read in verse 14 that when he had spent all, that is all of his inheritance, there came a famine in the land. And these kind of people don't look for the rainy days. People that are looking for shortcuts to life do not anticipate the problem areas that are out there in life. And so they're not laying aside and taking caution to be able to meet those crises when they come. And when they come, they're swept away with the flood of circumstances. A mighty famine comes, and he began to be in want. So he finds a job, a citizen of that country. And how humiliating. He, a devout Jew, raised under the law of Moses, ends up feeding pigs, that unclean animal under the law. He couldn't have sunk any lower in a Jewish thinking mind, is to be a keeper of swine. Pigs. And not only did he have that job, that it got to the point where that his livelihood so caught up with him, probably his credit cards got maxed out, and now then, he doesn't have any other means, and he has to eat the very food that he feeds to the pigs. That's hitting the bottom. And then we read, he's out of a job, nobody comes to his rescue. An inheritance that's gotten hastily, at the outset, or at the beginning, shall not be blessed by God in the long run. Let's look at some passages in the New Testament now in the book of 1 Timothy as to what riches, if we set our eye upon wealth and riches, rather than upon the labor that is necessary to bring us into wealth and riches, here's the outcome. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. I'm going to read verse 6 first. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out, having food and raiment. Let us be therewith content. That they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Have we not just heard about that in the prodigal son? Those that will be rich, but apart from the use of labor to achieve that end, is that which God will not bless. Verse 10, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, etc., etc. Destruction and perdition is the end result of a hastily achieved inheritance. Don't seek it that way. Seek that God would give you the means to achieve an honest end. Work toward that end. And as you do so over a long period of time, it will then benefit and bring you good consequences. Ask anybody who has done that over a lifetime of work. Let's look in Psalm chapter 16. Psalm 16, verses 2 and 5. Verse 2, David says, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee. Verse 5, the Lord is the portion of what? My inheritance. And of my cup, thou maintainest my lot. God must be viewed as our inheritance, the one who gives it to us, and the one who is to be obeyed in achieving that inheritance. The Lord is our portion. The Lord is our inheritance. And when we can trust God for that, He will see that the means are provided to achieve an end-designed goal. Here is blessing, then, without a curse. I came across this statement here by a writer I've never heard of by the name of Frank Rector, probably an older writer, as it came out of an older book. And he has some thoughts in here that I think are very practical throughout many different areas of life. Listen as I read. It's old English, and so it will not flow as smooth as we might desire. He is dealing with this text and is relating it to the issues of patience and permanence. He says, ours is an age of haste. I wonder if he wrote this some 200 years ago, what in the world he'd think about our generation now. Reading on, ours is an age of haste, shortcuts to learning, professional life without due preparation, fortunes before labor, all this foretells disaster and collapse. In behalf of an energy that is persistent, a labor that is patient, enterprises that count the cost, I wish to speak the truth of this text. First, in the area of the material world, he states, tremendous forces have operated through ages to bring the earth into its present condition. Geological, chemical, astronomical, science tell of changes, slow, silent, but persistent and therefore permanent. In the intellectual world, The human mind has a physical basis. As grew the material, so grows the mental world. A process here, a progress there. Ideas endure hardness in their battle for recognition. Doctrines are developed according to this law of progress. Scripture unfolds like herbage in the field. Intellectual power is secured by labor and persistent effort. Nature reveals her secrets. History discloses the past. Revelation makes known her future truth only to the studious and the devout. Then in the spiritual world, he says, Scripture has styled the Almighty as the God of all patience. His works bear evidence of finish and completeness. Why does he deliberate, tarry, and hasten not? Let the God of patience interpret his own plans. With him millenniums are as days. Sudden movements in grace, as in nature, are of the destructive kind. Gentle dews, not crashing storms, make good pasture. A lamb, not the lion, is the final conqueror. And the servant who sows and waits, prays and persists, believes and does not make haste, shall have a sure reward. Unquote. Ton of wisdom in that statement that we've just read. So you young men that are here this afternoon and you're going to school and you think, my, what good's this doing me? Remember, you don't just get good thinking processes like that. There's an idea here, there's an idea there, and your mind gathers that, and it's accumulating all of these thoughts that are going to enable you to have a job. It's going to enable you to make good decisions down the road here. What am I saying? Simply that the mind does not learn hastily. Everything you see around us in nature is slow and persistent. In the learning process, it's slow and persistent. In the way that we learn the spiritual truth of God, beware of laying hold in a hasty manner upon some new doctrine that comes along. Weigh it carefully. Study it here. Go slow. And through the process of years, you will inherit a reputation as being a wise person in the things of God. May God take these exhortations this afternoon and apply them to all of these areas of life. That haste makes what? Waste. Haste makes waste. Go slow, slow, slow. And in the end, we shall reap. All right, let's pray.